Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Those with addictions are usually blind as to how addicted they really are. Denial goes hand in hand with any kind of addiction. Jesus had much to say to the religious leaders of his day about spiritual blindness, words we need to take to heart. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the power of a clear conscience. We've come again to John chapter 8, where we'll learn more about the truth that hurts and heals.
So we need to know something about ourselves, something about Satan, and of course, something about God. He is gracious and merciful. And in a few moments, I'm going to be giving you an example right from the chapter 8 here of that mercy and that grace. The fact that God gives us the gift of his presence. He gives us what we normally don't have and don't deserve, and he goes with us into the darkest closets of our life. He invites us to open the door and to let light shine there to deal with hidden issues that have plagued us, perhaps for years and years. And God comes along, and he is merciful and gracious, and we need to draw near to him. And if you missed last time, the message I preached on how we draw near through the blood of Christ, absolutely critical to understand. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you what I consider maybe three steps. They aren't steps so much as understanding as to where you are at and the path toward hope. First of all, and you're writing now, I'm sure, because this is important. You can't get free. You can't get free. You must be set free. You must be set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son makes you free, the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. It's not a matter of willpower. It's not even a matter of memorizing verses, though I strongly advocate that, and that may be part of the process. But Jesus has to enter into your world to set you free. You know, I love that psalm. Years ago, I preached on it, Psalm 40, where David says in his experience, and I used to know it by memory in the King James, but I'll read it here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Don't you love this phraseology? Out of the miry bog. And he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth. You mean after you've been in the pit, you can still sing? Yep. Many will see and fear and will put their trust in the Lord. Now David says, I was in the pit, and he drew me up from the pit. God didn't say, now David, here's a shovel, dig yourself out. Because if you try to dig yourself out of a pit, you're going to have trouble. You're only going to be deeper because of the self-confidence that I can handle this. No, you can't handle it. Thank you very, very much. You can fall into a pit. Years ago, I gave you the illustration of a horse of ours on the farm in a slough. Now, you may not be acquainted with the word, but it's like miry bog. And he got in alone, but I'll tell you, he couldn't get out alone. We actually had to put a gadget around him and help him and pull him out. You can fall into the pit alone. Nobody even has to help you. Some of you say, I didn't fall, I was pushed. Years ago in a subway, there was spray painted, Humpty Dumpty was pushed. And you may feel that you were pushed into the pit. Either way, guess what? You're not getting out alone. But in Jesus, God comes into the pit And he is there and he doesn't throw us a rope because you're too weak to grab the rope. And even if you did, you could not pull yourself up. He says, I come into the miry bog where you are and I scoop you up. And I put your feet upon a rock. And I'm the one that establish your going, and I'm the one that puts a new song in your mouth. Jesus comes to us in our need, and that's why he was able to say, as he did, you know, this is my body, this is my blood that was shed for you. Why? For redemption, for reconciliation. I came into this dirty world to rescue you. And I came to your level. I didn't sin, but I came to your level because you're worse off than you ever thought. If I had not intervened, it would have been a lost cause. You can't get free. You must be set free. Notice what Jesus says. He says, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. The servant doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, today I'm going to tell my master what to do. The servant doesn't do that. Jesus said, you have to understand, sin owns you. It's the master who tells you, do this, do that. And you must recognize, therefore, that you are in slavery, and I came to set captives free. Second, your struggle magnifies God's grace. Your struggle magnifies God's grace. You know, I sometimes smile at God. I don't think that's irreverent to say, because you know what? God actually thinks of things I don't. I mean, can you handle that? I think so. Last weekend, we were in Nashville and St. Louis for media rallies, and Tuesday morning we got on a plane from St. Louis to fly to Chicago. And God, knowing that I was going to speak about addictions, he knew that. I actually knew that too, but he knew it better than I. Who does he put me next to on a plane but a man who's sitting next to me, and then there's another one sitting ahead, and before the plane is off, you know, we're talking, and I discover that he was an addict who went to an organization that was set up to help addicts. They have about 200 addicts there. And they stay for a number of months. They make them work. Everybody earns. It's a remarkable organization. And so what does God do? God says, hey, you know, if you're going to speak about addictions, let me give you two guys who used to be addicted but are free now so that you can get some good information for your sermon. So I said to this guy, so what were you into? He said, you know, it began with marijuana. By the way, this idea that marijuana should be legal and everybody buying it, I don't know exactly how that fits into our definition of progress. But, you know, I'm maybe a minority here. But anyway, it begins with marijuana, then it goes into harder drugs, so there he is. Okay. And then the guy ahead said, hey, I was in prison. He didn't have to give me his pedigree. He said, name it, and I've done it. Okay. Now, how do these guys who are set free, who now work for the organization, and why is it that there are people in this organization who go there addicted and they end up being Bible teachers and leading others to the path of wholeness and help and deliverance? Isn't that wonderful? Well, you see, one of the things that God does is what he wants to do is through our struggles display grace. These guys understood grace a lot better than the goody two-shoes who may be listening to this message who think they don't need that much grace because they've done it all right and really, you know, oh, sure, I messed up a little bit. Like a guy said, yeah, I've sinned. I remember taking my golf clubs and wrapping them around a tree. Oh, wow, I'm impressed with you. That's all you've done, huh? Folks, Jesus was not kind to people who didn't think they needed grace. And what he does is he motivates us by his blessed presence. I read a book about a man who struggled with pornography, and here's a couple of lines. He said, "I remember many times sitting in front of my computer, and the question was to click or not to click. I felt the Holy Spirit tapping me on the shoulder. I knew better. I knew that the peace of God's presence is better than this rush that I would receive. God was nevertheless, even there, present with me, convicting me, yes, but..." Have you ever wondered what the way of escape is? "There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape." So, what's the way of escape? He said, the way of escape was the presence of the living God. He became my rescue. And he said that I had to come to the point where the peace of God and my fellowship with God meant more to me than the pleasure that I would receive, the guilty pleasure, and that God ultimately and my fellowship with him would mean more. It is the presence of God right in the midst of our temptation. It is God's presence there that becomes the means of deliverance. The passion for God greater than our passion to sin.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Could I just say a word regarding pornography? Oftentimes, it is not possible to have victory over this sin without the help of other people. We've discovered this at Moody Church. Other churches have discovered it as well, that we need help if that is our addiction and our sin. Could I encourage you to go to your church, find those who perhaps are able to understand you, those who will stand with you, and people to whom you will be accountable? Because our desires delight to deceive us. And even when we think we stand, there is a great danger that we fall. The message that you are listening to is part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. What I want to do in these sermons is to help all of us to have a clear conscience before God and before others. The Apostle Paul said that that was true of him. And I know that that is God's will, that it be true of us. This is the aim of our instruction: love and the power of a clear conscience. Well, that isn't exactly the words that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Timothy, but that's the essence, that we have a good conscience, clear of offense. These messages are so critical that I want you to have a copy. It's important that you listen to them again. Share them with your friends. You might want to use them in your church, whatever way you wish to use them. My desire is that the truth set us free.
Erwin Lutzer with The Truth That Hurts and Heals, the fifth in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, why all of us need the grace of God. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.